Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We'll take you all the way up to 6:30. We've got a 4 o'clock opportunity for somebody to win tickets. You better be listening ahead of the Beltway Blitz if you want those tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Danny, what's up? How are you?
I'm very well, my friend. We're almost over this NFL season. Isn't that wild? I feel like we wait forever and ever, and it seems this never-ending desert. And now it's like, okay, stretch run. Here we go. Week 14. Like, crazy to me that it's this close. I understand that's what happens. Time marches on. Shout out to Metallica. But it occurred to me today. It's like, yeah, tomorrow week 14 starts. Like, wait, what?
Don't rush us. I mean, we've still got basically a quarter of the regular season and the entire postseason to go. No reason to say it's over just yet. You sound like me this morning. I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I'm like, I hate how fast this Christmas season's going. December's flying by. And she's like, well, it's December 3rd.
It is the 3rd.
I was like, yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I fly out to Minnesota this weekend, and I come back, and next thing you know, it's 2 weeks until Christmas. I think both things are probably true, though. It's going to move very quickly. It already is, and it's only December 3rd. But yeah, this is the stretch run. This is the fun stuff, man. This is as good as it gets for an NFL fan. We've got a lot of football content coming your way. I want to break down the Hard Knocks episode with some audio of the couple of scenes, there were only a couple of them, that involved the Commanders in episode 1 last night. But I will say, Dan Quinn dropped a bar last night. And I do some eye rolling occasionally when he comes up with his latest catchphrases. And, you know, my joke early on was my buddy in Atlanta called him Sergeant Slogan.
Sergeant Slogan.
He's like, you guys hired Sergeant Slogan. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you'll see. And I get it now. But, man, did he drop a bar. I loved it. Last night on Hard Knocks, we got the rare access after a loss into the locker room as he addressed the team. And he told them, we may have lost, but we're not lost anymore. That's a good line.
That is nice. I mean, it's a great thing to say after you go to 3-9. Like, you're looking for something to salvage? There it is. I guess that makes sense.
And you can be cynical, but you get the point. And
yeah, of course.
It matches what you saw, which is they found their game. Now, we'll see if they can carry it over and beat a Vikings team that if you found yourself, if Dan Quinn's right, then you're going to beat Minnesota as a 1.5-point road dog. If you found yourself, and if Dan Quinn's right, then you're going to go to New York and beat the Giants. So we're going to find out if they actually found their game. But his point was they got away from their identity, which is true. They weren't doing any of the things well that they did well last year. Injuries are no injuries. Like, we could chalk it up to a lot of man games missed, and there's some truth to that. But you still have to just do the basic football fundamental things well, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
They were lost, and now they've been found. They're not lost anymore. I just thought that was a great line from him.
That is very good.
Put that one on a t-shirt. There's a lot to get into in the 4+ hours ahead. Before we talk football, I do just want to shout out the Capitals. Late night Caps last night. If you're one of the few, the proud, that stayed up late with us last evening, how good was that Caps game? They get a 3-1 win a multi-goal third period. Early on in the third, it was Anthony Bevilier with the game winner. And then they get the empty netter thanks to reach from Alexi Protas.
His go-go gadget arm move there was unbelievable.
Big and long to pot the final goal of the game. So they're 16-9-2. And all of a sudden, this Caps team that everyone was talking about, maybe missing the playoffs and not being any good and crashing back down to earth, they are tied for the most points in the Metro. And they're among the top 10 points getters in the National Hockey League. Now, they have played more games. They've got two games in hand over Carolina, one game in hand over the second-place team in the division. In this first-place tie, they're still third. But still, 34 points, 27 games. They have turned their year around. For the Caps, that's five in a row on the good side, and they've won eight of their last nine at this point.
It was bound to happen, right? I mean, they weren't as bad as they were when they lost, I think it was 8 of 10, where you just go, this is fluky. They're going to regress in the opposite direction. I think they have. You pointed this out, but cleaning up the penalty kill, which was really slumping while the power play was a disaster. 5-on-5, they've been pretty good even throughout while they were losing. So this was, to me, was a matter of time. I have full confidence in this group during the regular season.
Tom Wilson's power play goal last night, he's closing in on 20 for the year. He's on a 48-goal pace.
Unbelievable.
He's going to make Team Canada for the Olympics, I think.
Where do you think he ends right now? You got to throw a dart. Where does he end, goal-wise, where does he end?
I'll say like 38. Yeah, he's going to cool off.
Sure.
I mean, there's been a handful of empty netters in there. It's also just really hard. Unless you're Alex Ovechkin or a goal scorer like that, like a David Pastrnak or one of these guys over the years, you think of Austin Matthews or somebody who, you know, is a 40-plus goal annual type. They come in bunches, but then you're going to have that dry spell where you can't buy a goal when you do it the way Tom Wilson does, 7, 8, 9 games or something. So I'll be really surprised if he gets to 40, but wouldn't that be incredible?
40 goals.
Here's what's going to happen. It's going to be back-to-back 30-goal seasons if he stays healthy. And at that point, there's no flukes to it. You're a 30-goal guy in the National Hockey League. So for all the losers in all the other markets that talked all the trash about what Tom Wilson is, and he's not skilled, and he can't finish, and he doesn't have hands, and he's a goon, and he's just a fighter, and he's a fourth-line player, all these morons who don't know what they're talking about, you've got to wear that. You got to suck that down as he scores 30 goals for a second straight season. I think I've told you this before. I've got a buddy, more so a friend of a friend, really. My brother-in-law's friend in Wilmington, North Carolina. Good dude. Met him a few times. Hung with him. Gone to a hockey game with him. Like, really good guy. Knows hockey. Likes hockey. We got to know enough hockey. He hates Tom Wilson. Because this guy's... What do we call these people that like the team in Pittsburgh? He's a Penguins fan.
Oh, right. Gross.
And so he's a big Penguins fan, and he just loves joning on Tom Wilson and saying how unskilled he is and all this stuff. So for really the last 2.5 years, every time Tom Wilson scores, I send a picture of Tom Wilson to him. Last year, I chose a shirtless picture of Tom Wilson chopping down a tree.
You got to be almost out of pictures at this point.
This year, I chose like the stock handsome monumental sports photo where it's like well lit around him and he's in some room like staring just so with like sweat dripping off his nose. But our interactions, me and this guy, it's literally just if you just scroll up a bunch, if you don't delete your texts like I do, it's just like over the last 2 years, basically 71 texts of Tom Wilson's picture with him occasionally being like, that was an easy goal or what?
If he's lucky, you know,
whatever. But it's just all the Tom Wilson texts.
Yeah.
So as soon as he scores every time, I'm just racing to my phone to text.
Got it queued up. You got a lot of things to do for a while in terms of when goals happen.
Yeah.
Like when Jay Beagle would score, you had to post a picture of the Beagle.
That's right.
When Tom Wilson scores, you got to run to your phone and do it to that guy. Do you have any others? Do you have any other rituals when someone scores?
Pretty much it.
That's it.
When Ovi scores, I like to update his all-time counter. I like to run over to the bobblehead and spin the knob at the bottom, maybe tweet about how great he is or something like that.
Reasonable things to do, yeah.
So that keeps me occupied. But no, I don't have to like troll anybody else.
Like when Jacob Chychrun scores, you don't have to like find someone that didn't like him.
Yeah, I've got this buddy who can't stand Anthony Bevilier.
There we go.
So last night when he scored the game winner, I had to text him the Bevilier photo of him shirtless chopping down a tree. Heavy lies the crown, man.
Yep.
You could be successful. You're going to have friends, Frank. You could be unsuccessful. You're going to have enemies. I think did I botch that?
You did it. You kind of Charlie Slows that one.
Damn it. Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Are you Frank?
I'll be Frank.
Frank, listen to me, okay? You could be successful, and you can have enemies. You could be unsuccessful, and you can have friends. What do you want to be?
There it is.
Tom Wilson's successful.
He is successful, by the way.
Let's talk Jaden Daniels, though. So Dan Quinn spoke today. I want to get this audio for you on Grant and Danny. but he was asked about Daniels. He is still not cleared for contact as we talk here on December 3rd. This is the thing that is annoying me, and that I'm just, it's nobody's fault necessarily. I think the team could do a better job with this. They've chosen not to, and I need to not get upset about it. This is the way they operate now. They are Belichickian. This is the old school New England Patriots philosophy. Did someone pull their hamstring in the game? Then he's not going to talk for 2 weeks until he's back active and healthy. If Jaden Daniels is not ready to play football, then we're not going to tell you when he might be ready to play football. We're not going to give you anything you don't need to have, even in a lost season, when it doesn't really matter. And so here we are. Almost as annoying as the injuries and the time missed for Jaden Daniels is the Willie Woney. Is he going to practice? Is he
so
not?
So much time on
the Brian Fantana Panda watch of like, let's see, is the media seeing him on the field or isn't he? Or is he cleared or is he not? This has been a whole season of this. I'm just so over it. Yep. It's exhausting. I hate every bit of it.
And they're not, the decisions they make or don't make or leaving it open-ended, obviously they shouldn't have us in mind. They shouldn't care about our programming, about our shows and the like. But I will say, as it trickles to fans, this dance that you're talking about, the Willie Woney, isn't a lot of fun. Like, I don't think it's the right way to do it, personally. Pretty simple to me. I think if you tell people something, and either it happens or it doesn't, you get a moment of disappointment or a moment of frustration. Then everybody moves on. There's no moving on when it's anticipation, letdown, anticipation, letdown. When the air keeps coming out of the balloon, it is a lot less fun. So if they'd come out and said, now part of this is, I understand injuries are fluid. It's not as if it is now robot has been cured. He's now 100% and you turn the fader up and he's fine. But if you told us at some point, we are targeting the Giants game or we're targeting Minnesota. And if it doesn't happen that way, there'll be a moment of grousing, but we'll go about our business. This open-ended, like, oh, we're going to try, we're going to see. And I got now 2 more days. We're locked into Willie or Woney.
It's the misleading that's annoying to me, and somebody might be able to say, well, you're misreading the tea leaves. They're not misleading you, and maybe that's true. We got to a point where we spoke Ron Rivera, so we knew how to look at whatever he said or didn't say, and I don't think most of us are there yet with Dan Quinn. I also think he plays a better game of poker, honestly. Just Ron said nothing, but if you actually look between the lines, you could find a lot. I don't think there's as much to decipher with Dan Quinn, honestly. And he's just newer to the gig, so we're not as far along in the relationship. But I just don't think there's value to this. I don't think you have to come out last week and say that he's definitely coming back against the Vikings or is definitely not going to play. But they did, remember, rule him out almost immediately for the Broncos. So they were willing to do that, where before they had ever taken the practice field a week ago today, we already knew he was not playing. I think it was Monday where we heard he was a super long shot against Denver, unlikely to play, but he's going to be back at practice. But as soon as you say, like, he's on the practice field, you don't say he's going to be limited all week and there's a good chance he's not cleared for contact for several more days. You make people think that he's probably going to be practicing closer to full sooner than later, and that he is going to be cleared for contact. So I've just never understood why they do it. And you're right. They don't owe anybody anything. I'm not saying for our show, for any media, for any fans that they should. For themselves, they should do it.
And that's my point.
It makes them constantly look like this is in the Noah Brown pile where you didn't judge it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So I just won't understand why they do it the way they do it. But they care so much about the secrecy element. And I covered Mike Shanahan. He was team. Don't let anybody know anything. I got called into his office multiple times for stuff I would say on the radio where he'd go, hey, I'd rather you didn't say that. And I was like, Mike, what do you want me to say? He's like, well, you don't have to say that the quarterback's going to run a lot in this offense. Maybe talk about how Jake Plummer used to scramble in my offense, and maybe it'll look like that. And I'm like, you don't sign my paychecks, bud. I work for a radio station. You and I, we have a good relationship. You got nothing to do with what I say on the radio. Like, that was kind of our butting of heads.
Mm-hmm.
So I get coaches not wanting it out there. But I'm just telling you that the restriction years later now is farther along in terms of just overall. The PR staff won an award last year. They're incredible. They do a great job. They're helpful. They'll get you what you need. But there is just generally less overall access, I would say,
yep,
in the league than there was. And this is a team run by a group that I think you know, if you want to look at the Patriots of many, many years ago when Peters was with Belichick, they're kind of trending in that direction.
They were raised in Bane's prison and they prefer the darkness. I mean, that's who they are. And again, it's their prerogative. I just,
also way more okay to me when you're winning. You know, it's just not as annoying. You could do pretty much whatever you want when you're 12-5, and you could, anything you're doing, I won't question. You want to never get under center when you're the number two offense in the NFL?
We saw that with the Nationals, by the way they would handle so many different things over the years, and nobody wanted to hear because they're winning 93 games. And you're going, they kept Anthony Rendon on the active roster when he had a broken foot, and then they played him and reset the count, and they played with a man down for basically 3 weeks. And everyone's like, yeah, but they're in first place, so shut up. Okay, fine. And whether it was right or wrong, you can get away with a lot more when you're winning. But when it's not cute anymore, just like the slogans and all the brotherhood and this, that, and the other, where you're throwing a rock at the wall and every cliche becomes grating and more annoying when you're not winning. I understand all that. But again, if somebody asked me, if one of the smart, handsome people over there, Peters, Newmark, whatever, goes, hey, how would you do this? FYI, I'd go, I would not do it how you guys do it. I don't see the upside in this. There's if there was a tangible benefit that I could objectively see, I go, yeah, that's more annoying for media Marty and Freddie the Fan, but I get where you guys are coming off better.
The Vikings think that he might play, so they're preparing for him. Except when he's not cleared, that's not really how it's working necessarily. And let's be honest, Mariota and Daniels are just not that different in style of play. You're prepping the exact same way. It's the same offense. It's the same guy. Theoretically and hopefully, Daniels does everything at a higher level, but it's not like it's Jacoby Brissett standing in the pocket flat-footed or Jaden Daniels. It's not like your backup is Derek Carr and you're just going to be this different-looking pocket-passing offense. It's the same thing that they're preparing for, basically. So, yeah, I'll rule that out as, oh, we're going to get this advantage. No, you're not. This was Quinn today when he was asked about Daniels. An update that was a long time coming here as they're back to work on Wednesday.
Do you have any update on Jaden Daniels? Has he been cleared for contact? What's your optimism that he'll play this weekend?
Optimistic he's going to get a lot of reps for practice. I'm going to take it all the way through Friday. There's still like functional evaluations to go through, but game plan and practicing and that part is good. You'll see like on the side is... And I say it's a little more challenging to work at quarterback when you're not doing the same contact. So we'll have to simulate as much as we can. But he's off to a good start. But we'll go all the way through Friday for sure. But he'll get a lot of reps of practice.
More from Dan Quinn talking about Jaden Daniels' injury. This was in Ashburn today, just about an hour ago.
The medical staff clear him for contact?
He has not been cleared for contact. That would be a game, you know, one, but... They'll also wait for the whole week, too. They have more testing and movements to examine, so that's where we're at.
So that's a good follow-up, by the way, by Mitch Titchler, who was like, hey, the other part I asked you, can we get back to that for a second? His answer was interesting there. He said, that's a game one. What is it? I guess because he's saying there's no contact in practice, he doesn't need to be cleared now. I take that to answer my question that I posed yesterday, which was, does he need to be cleared for contact earlier in the week, even if you're not being tackled in practice, and go through some practices cleared for contact, or could they clear him closer to the game and he just goes through the whole week of practice and gets those reps without any contact at a position where you're not allowed to contact the guy in practice anyway? I take that to mean that part. Like, hey, that's a game thing. We'll see at the end of the week. They're taking it to the end of the week for that. Like, play that answer again after Mitch's question, if you would, just the second part there. Don't you think that's what he's saying?
I was trying to figure it out, but that makes sense the way you just hypothesized. Like, in other words, they're not worried about his game status, whoever these examiners are, the medical folks. They're like, are you cleared for this thing medically, yes or no? They're not concerned about your game plan week, right? So does that, when he says that's a game one.
I took it to mean, is he cleared for contact? I think Dan's saying, well, contact's not coming till the game. So we've got time for that.
He has not been cleared for contact. That would be a game, you know, one, but they'll also wait for the whole week, too. They have more testing and movements to examine, so that's where we're at.
So let's go back to the big debate we had yesterday, which is this guy going to play on Sunday? I say yes. I said no, you said yes. And my caveat was the only way I could see him playing on Sunday is if he's going to be cleared on Friday, They're letting it ride until then, and they just don't feel like they have to clear him earlier in the week because there's no contact at practice anyway. But after all week long last week thinking he was going to play, being about 75-80% sure that he'd have enough practice time, that he would get cleared, all those things, I was down to 30-35% yesterday. I'm now down to 25-30% today that he does not play. You were a little over 50% confident yesterday?
Yeah, 50.5% yesterday.
Are you still confident he plays?
Nope, down to about 10%. He ain't playing. We're doing the hemming and hawing, dancing around. Like all I heard was a guy that just didn't want to admit it from Dan Quinn. Didn't want to admit that he's not playing.
Isn't there a chance, though, based on what he just said, that on Friday they go, all right, cleared for a contact. Contact is Sunday. He practiced all week. He was limited enough because, you know, there are just certain things we kept him out of. But he's gotten the mental reps. He's got the goggles on, watching all the stuff, two times speed. He's out on the field a little bit. He's playing.
I suppose
that's still a possibility.
I suppose that's the path, but it sounded to me like there's a reluctance, and he didn't want to admit it. I keep saying the same thing, but it just felt to me like we were trending in the opposite direction, where there was gear up last week to, you know, hey, the arrow's trending up. Look at what we're targeting. Like he's cleared for practice. He's working. Now it's we're gonna wait till Friday. That doesn't sound like a trending arrow up anymore. The arrow's trending down.
So this goes back to the conversation we were having earlier in the segment, though, which is, and maybe they just didn't know. Maybe that's what they would say with Truth Serum, is that we had no idea he wouldn't be cleared for contact by now. But if they knew a week ago at this time that he probably wasn't going to be cleared and or there was a real good chance he doesn't play against Minnesota, why not just let that be known then so that there is no aggression and rushing and assumption and everybody thinking he's going to be back on the field? And I guess their answer would be this competitive advantage thing that I don't think is a reality in this quarterback situation currently right now. But let's pose this question to our listeners at 800-636-1067 right now. First off, do you think he needs to be cleared for contact sooner rather than later to play? Like, do you think they would have him play if he's cleared Friday or Saturday morning when they're making their final roster adjustments before they jump on the plane to go to Minnesota after the walkthrough? If that clearance comes Saturday morning, do you just play on Sunday? Because it's not like you were going to get tackled on the practice field anyway. Whatever contact's going to test out that injury is coming in a game anyway. 800-636-1067. And then more importantly, do you think we see Jaden Daniels on the field against the Vikings? Yes or no? That's the question on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Any update on Jaden Daniels? Has he been cleared for contact? What's your optimism that he'll play this weekend?
Optimistic he's going to get a lot of reps for practice. I'm going to take it all the way through Friday. There's still like functional evaluations to go through, but game plan and practicing and that part is good. You'll see like on the side, it's a little more challenging to work at quarterback when you're not doing the same contact. So we'll have to simulate as much as we can. But he's off to a good start, but we'll go all the way through Friday for sure. But he'll get a lot of reps of practice.
That's Dan Quinn talking Jaden Daniels. The question is, do we see him Sunday in Minneapolis on the road against the Vikings? Would be a nice test. They blitz at a higher rate than any team in the NFL. In fact, Danny, since their bye week over their last several games, the Vikings have blitzed 58% of the time.
They're going for broke.
Under Brian Flores, which is 20% higher than any other team in the NFL. Now, notably, Marcus Mariota is 7th in the NFL at getting the ball out and completing passes against the blitz. Jaden Daniels, sub 50% this year, dead last among qualifying quarterbacks in completion percentage against the blitz. So I actually think this would be a really good opportunity in an area of his game where A, you got to help him more, and I think having the weapons back that they do will naturally improve his performance, make him better. But this is the kind of game I want to see him play in, if you could get him cleared and on the field, because it's one of the things he's got to work on, and the Vikings are going to essentially give you that opportunity to do that in a game with very low stakes when you're all but eliminated from the playoffs already. It seems like we're trending toward no Jaden Daniels against the Vikings, which would mean another assumption, and those haven't gone well lately, but possibly at the Meadowlands to take on the Giants. He'd be back for the final four games of the season, all in the division, New York, Philly, Dallas, Philly.
So I'm trying to pull up the numbers while you're talking. I don't remember exactly, so I didn't have it in front of me, so I apologize. But I feel like Daniels was pretty good against the blitz last year. I can't prove that, but that was just a feeling I had. But it certainly wasn't the case, or hasn't been the case, this season. So I always like that when a young player is going up against a different style just to get that experience, right? Because at some point, you know, you're going to have to deal with a team that plays nothing but man, or a team that plays nothing but zone, or that mixes their coverages a certain way. And all these data points are good growth things for him to have gone through and see it, especially when it's a lower stakes game, which is what happens when you're 3-9. You're not fighting for a playoff spot. You're not in a must-win situation. You're in a let's-get-better situation. So it would have been a nice thing.
Let's go to Denver, talk to Bryant, listening on the Odyssey app. It's free and available wherever you are. What's up, Bryant? How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Good. I'm just calling because I think they're going to save Jaden for the Eagles, the first Eagles game. I mean, maybe they'll see how Marcus plays against the Vikings and decide whether he goes in for the Giants. But I think the Giants would be absolute earliest. And then, I just think they're going to save him for like the most important games.
Well, are any of them more important than others?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all kind of the same exercise at this point. You're playing out the string in a lost season, getting valuable experience, which is where I've pushed back on anybody who has said it's not worth playing this guy. I don't know how you could have watched this year play out and seen this offense and him and the lack of time he's had with players like Terry McLaurin and not be desperate to get him on the field with the really good players that are returning like Terry McLaurin so that you see a better version of him and the offense is humming and you kind of answer some tough questions. Now, I'll say this, Danny, if Cliff Kingsbury were to get a head coaching job this offseason, because I do think there's something to him having done a better job this year maybe than we've given him credit for. Last couple weeks, especially as we were getting really down on Cliff and the stagnant nature of the offense, with all of the man games missed, you look at some of where they rank just outside of the top 10 or back end top 10 in a lot of categories. I do think there will be executives around the league that look at this season and look at Cliff Kingsbury and go, especially if you've got a dual threat running quarterback like Jaden Daniels, man, would he be an intriguing hire. If he were to get a job, and I'd bet against that, I think it's a sub 50% chance, but I'm putting it in the 30s or 40s. And if he wows somebody in an interview, maybe he's more interested in a job, so he goes harder in the paint this year. This is the first fall coming up where he's not getting paid by the Cardinals as well. Let's say he leaves, then bringing Daniels back, while still the right thing to do and still beneficial to him long term, is way less helpful to me. Because a lot of what I want is him to have time on task with Cliff, with this collection of players, the ones that are going to be back next year, in this offense. Because I think it carries over and helps. But if Cliff leaves and it's a new coordinator and you go get Mike McDaniel, let's say, or you go get Kevin Stefanski and you're running a different offense, then the final month of this season, the work he puts in is probably not as beneficial. It waters down a little bit of my argument that he needs to be playing. But I just, specific to him, like one individual guy, forget what he's running, being on the field is helpful. Seeing the game, the binoculars that he wears in his locker are awesome. You know what's better? Being out there, seeing it in real life. The more of that you get, the better you are as a player. And this is not a sport, Joe Gibbs would say up here, where we just redshirt guys because. It just, especially young guys that need to play. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't with the younger players. Older players, I could have a conversation.
Sure.
Like, you know, once the Bengals are totally eliminated and Burrow's been hurt a billion times, I'm a little bit less enthused about just having him out there and getting his brains beat in. But for Daniels' case, especially because this season has gone so poorly in every facet with health and him not protecting himself and his play wasn't what it was the year before, of course you need more data points. Ideally, it would be in the same system, but to me, any experience is good experience here.
And by the way, a healthy Joe Burrow is not sitting down in a week. If they lose to the Bills this week, they're not going to shut him down for a month.
No.
Now, might they have him not play week 18? Or 2 weeks at the end of the year, I guess that's possible.
It's not done in the NFL. My point is, I would argue potentially for a paradigm shift there. For you only get so many bullets. You've been hurt so many times, but that's not where the league is. I fully acknowledge that.
And I think sitting him would be reliant upon number one, him not being completely right, which most guys are not.
Right.
Especially in his case, you've been hurt this season. But the other thing is, do you have someone else you're trying to evaluate? If you're trying to determine in a hypothetical that you've got this backup who either needs to be your long-term backup and you need to give him a contract, or you're going to let this guy walk, you might go to Joe Burrow and say, hey, let's keep you upright. Let's get you into the offseason healthy. We got to figure out if Danny's going to be on the roster next year or not. Let's let him truck the ball 45 times this week, and this will, in the long term, really help us a lot. But even that is a stretch for me. I could see that, but there's still 5 games left.
Right.
People are acting like they should be right now this second shutting him down for next year when he's on the verge of returning with 5 games left in a 17-game season. That is 29% of the year. That's a third almost of the practices that this guy gets to participate in this season. That's insane. Paul's in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great topic. I'm afraid I disagree with you. I think Daniels has shown himself to be very fragile, and putting him out there, especially against the Vikings, who are going to be blitzing a lot, even in the Giants game, I really want to get this guy completely healthy. The other thing is, winning now doesn't help the team very much because of, as you pointed out, draft picks. And so I'd be inclined to have him sit for a game or two more. I agree with you, he needs at least a couple games before the season is over. The last thing I wanted to say was, it's a shame Joe Jacoby isn't going to get in the Hall of Fame this year. He deserves it. He was the best lineman in the league for years on a Super Bowl champion. I'll listen to you, but you guys have...
Yeah, we're going to get to that later in the show. It's on the rundown, so don't worry. We'll talk about that. Specific to the topic at hand, the quote from the caller was, I want to get this guy completely healthy. He's not playing if he's not completely healthy.
Yeah, we're seeing that happen.
So they're waiting until he's completely healthy. We're not saying, should he play if he's not completely healthy? I agree with you. We're in lockstep. If he's not 100%, then he shouldn't be out there. What we're talking about is, if he is 100% and he is cleared medically to be tackled and to do all the things he has to do, should he play at 100%? To me, the answer to that is always 100, yes, no doubt about it. you referenced something at the end there about the draft picks, which speaks more to not whether or not he's healthy or not, but just whether or not do you want to give yourself the best chance to win, which in a month maybe is a consideration. With one or two games to go in the season, might be a discussion. There's 6 weeks left. There's 5 games left. We are not there yet. Just because you were so bad that you already got eliminated doesn't mean you get to shut it down. It would be like the equivalent of, I don't know, like opening your Christmas presents right now. We got a lot of time. We still got to wait a little bit before you get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is an area where I know the NFL isn't this way, and I know I kind of keep spinning my wheels and sort of saying the same thing, but they could use a little bit more of that. And it's not the paradigm now. Nobody does it. Nobody thinks in that manner. But I'm not advocating stopping playing your starters and releasing guys, doing what the Clippers did to Chris Paul or anything like that. But at the same time, an eye and deference towards the future when you're in this high contact, high injury sport might be a little bit smarter. They could use a dash of that, not to go full NBA, not to go full, you know, rest days and maintenance days here, there, and everywhere. But it's something that you could start to sprinkle in a little bit without too much detriment.
I think there's a dash of it. You want another dash of it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. They already do a lot of vet days around here, a lot of veteran rest days during the week.
I think there's plenty of that that's done around the NFL. But if you're telling me that to the extent with which you want it done is sitting a healthy franchise quarterback for almost a third of the season, I would say no thank you to that. I'm not interested in that. That's not that different than the NBA. And just, what's today, Wednesday? Who are we playing? This team? No, you're good. But I didn't play yesterday either.
Well, this group blitzes a lot, yeah.
800-636-1067. I mean, what's the excuse next week? I was talking to someone. They're like, well, the Vikings blitz all the time. They're going to get to the quarterback. Maybe wait till next week. I'm like, well, you realize they're in the Meadowlands.
You're playing that Giants turf.
That's the worst turf in the league. People tear stuff all the time on that turf. Every player will tell you it's the most gross place to go play, and everyone's risking injury at a higher rate. And I'm like, all right, well, don't bring them back for that game. All right, well, then what about the next week? So now the Vikings blitz too much. The Giants have a bad turf. So you go, okay, well, the Eagles then, no problem. Home game December 20th. But they're serving hot dogs that night.
Yeah, well, the Eagles are good, though.
No, but they're serving hot dogs that night. So you can't play them if someone's serving hot dogs. You know that. You know that rule, right? So if they're serving hot dogs, then you can't play them against the Eagles. All right, then we'll do the Cowboys. But that's Christmas Day. And, you know, maybe he wants to be with his family on Christmas Day and not have to worry about the stress. Like, give me a break. They get 17 of these, man. Is he healthy? He's a football player. What do football players do? They play football.
They play football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why didn't Joe Jacoby get into the Hall of Fame? Why can't Washington seem to get any love from Hall of Fame voters? Something we'll get into at the top of the hour. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. I also want to get into Marcus Mariota's name. And was Chris Collinsworth right? Have we been saying Marcus Mariota's name wrong all along?
The vindication of Chris Collinsworth.
I don't mean like you and me. I mean everyone. Yeah. I mean the industry. What was the sport mispronouncing his name and he just didn't do anything to stop it for many, many years. We'll get into that coming up in about 15 minutes. But Collins in Clinton wants to talk Jaden Daniels. Do you think we see him against the Vikings? Washington is a 1.5-point dog. Their best chance to win a game over the last 2 months. They're trying to stop a 7-game skid, Colin. Are we going to see 5 on the field?
I hope not. Yeah, I kind of lean towards like a GM focus and like my perspective. So I'm just thinking about like the draft value, and I think it's important just context. So like the difference between 1.5 and or the 5th pick in the first round and the 12th is 500 points on the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart, and that's equivalent to the 8th pick in the second round. And we have very few players on our team that are actually worth that much. So, like, I could just see in 6 months' time from now when, you know, we're questioning whether or not there is enough talent around him, Jaden Daniels, and, like, really wishing that we had just done what we can to make sure that we, like, maximize that value.
So yeah. You're advocating sitting him for the benefit of being a worse football team to improve your draft position.
100%.
So said differently, you're willing to potentially stunt his development further to get a better draft pick.
I want to see him around better players.
Right. Well, that would be nice. I want to see him develop as an NFL quarterback. Every decision they make should be about what's best for Jaden Daniels.
Agreed. And that is a balancing act, though, there, by the way, right? Like, this X units of development versus, I'm just making this number up, X number of quality upgrade players around him.
Right.
What's more valuable? I think a reasonable debate could be had.
Absolutely. But a reasonable debate can't be had about whether or not him playing and practicing for the rest of this year is helpful to his development or not. It is a binary, if you ask people in the league, about whether or not just having a guy sit and missing a third of the season, basically, while healthy, which something we as media and as fans don't have to worry about playing our fantasy football of just looking at draft positioning and the Jimmy Johnson chart, is something that matters in a building from a culture standpoint. I'm a data guy. I'm an analytics guy. I understand what he's saying. He's not wrong
right in
his point. But there's a reality to this as well in the locker room that people outside the building don't care about. That does matter. And it's, you talk about a balancing act, you're walking a tightrope without a net when it comes to the relationships as a coach with players and a building and how you handle situations like this. And all of that stuff matters. And people that just look at the Jimmy Johnson chart and are just into the data can roll their eyes at that. But that's a real thing in a locker room. These are real people with real emotions. But on top of that, I just go back to the larger point, which is, everything I do is about what's best for Jaden Daniels. And you cannot convince me that just not playing him is best for him at a time where a lot of the issues he was having in his regression this year are based on a lack of time playing football. Now, if you just think you get to the offseason, he shuts it down for a few months, he comes back in camp in a healthy, normal training camp into the preseason, handled better, means he'll be better next year. That could be your argument. That and basically the lost season that was this year won't hurt him at all. I just don't believe that a lost second season for a quarterback who's had 2 years doesn't linger and doesn't affect
doesn't have some effect
into the future. Vince is an Akakeek. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving weekend as well.
You too, man.
I don't believe he's playing. I'm 95% he's not playing because Dan does a lot of word salad when he doesn't want to say what he doesn't want to say or admit. And when he is gung-ho, like when they asked about Noah Brown today, green. Like when he's gung-ho, he can't help himself.
That's
like
a good point, actually. If it's happening, he'll tell you it's happening. It does feel that way.
Yes. And he doesn't hesitate to let you know it's happening and then hit you with all the good quotes about why it's happening. But when he does
I'll
not
get back
want
to you in a second on
which,
this, Vince. You just got me thinking about this. This is a great point.
It's a sharp point.
The weeks where Jaden has played, we've known early in the week he was going to play. If you think about it, because there was even a week, what game was it that he came back for? Was that the, wouldn't have been Seattle. Yeah, it was. It was the Seattle game. The game he played in week 9. He plays in that game after the hamstring injury because it was the only game. He got hurt. He came back. He got hurt again.
Yep.
So that Seattle game, beginning of the week, they said he was playing. With Terry McLaurin, there was no ifs, ands, or buts last week. We knew from Jump Street he was going to go. So he does not really mess around when he's got something
when he's
to tell.
When he's excited about it, yeah.
That's a good tell on Dan Quinn. All right, anyways, go ahead, Vince.
So that's what gives me apprehension about him playing. Like, even with Will Harris, like, he knew Will Harris was playing. So now he's telling you about how he's a leader and he looks at film and all those things. So I don't think Jaden's playing. I do want him to get on the field because I had a lot of apprehension about the second year of our organization as a whole. And I drafted Jaden Daniels with the first pick of my fantasy draft. Granted, that has nothing to do with real football. But I was optimistic, but he was still one of my biggest question marks because it was just his second year in the NFL. With that being said, on my way out the door, anytime I get to call you guys or anybody on 106.7 The Fan or 980, I'm going to continue to blame this whole season on Adam Peters, the way he handled the offseason, especially with Terry. Terry is so important. Not having that domino lined up trickled down everywhere, and it has shown all over the field in every part of our organization.
Well, you can see different things were with McLaurin feeling good, playing good, look good, play good this weekend against Denver. It was a different offense, just everything about the whole – operation felt better.
It's one of those things where it's impossible to prove that wrong, that thesis, and it certainly was a cloud overhanging everything, but like, I don't know that Austin Eckler got hurt because Terry McLaurin didn't show up to training camp. Like, I understand his point, and it is a cloud, and it was something that kind of has defined things, but I think that's overly simplistic. But I understand the sentiment, certainly.
Remember when everybody was making fun of NBC for saying Marcus Mariota?
Mariota.
Maybe they were right. We're Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.